little ones. I think defiance and rebellion ran deep this week. So we're tired, but it's been a blessed week. It's been a hard week, but that's what parenting is. You get stuck in for their souls. You do. You fight. And so I stand here today, hopefully tested, tried and tested, and I hope I can impart some of this on you. It's not going to be super practical today. I think everyone in here is most people here are more experienced at raising little ones than I am. I could probably glean from you, and you can teach the others, but I want to teach on the basic concepts of today, of parenting, of little ones, of the household, and how things are going to run. And I've so enjoyed the preparation of this Family Matters series that we've been doing, being reminded of the gift of our families, of our wives, our husbands, and our children, and how God has given us a blueprint to have a blessed family. And I really believe that the Lord wants to bless our marriages. He wants to bless our families. But this can only happen when we fear Him, when we walk in His ways. To remind you of a well-known passage, Psalm 128 says this, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." What an amazing picture of blessing and fruitfulness when we walk according to the Lord's ways. And as Christians, that is what we are to do in every aspect of life, and we are to bring that into our families. We are to bring obeying the Lord, walking according to His ways, teaching our children to do that in our families, because that is when there is fruitfulness, joy, and blessing. Outside of that, there is not those things. And over the past 6 years of having a family, so I'm still relatively new at this, which started with getting married to my wife 6 years ago. I think it's 6 years this year, so we're just a bit short. And then the Lord adding our three daughters to this. For those of you that don't know, we got gifted twins for our first litter, or our first set that came along. I thought I was prepared, I was ready, and the Lord hit me straight on when He brought those two into my life. Straight on, square in my face. And I had to get on my knees and learn and beg and plead to figure out how to do this. And I've realized the importance and seriousness of being a strong leader, a husband, and a father in my home. And on this earth, my wife is my dearest relationship, my dearest partner, and my children are dear to me as well. So dear to me. And they are one of the most important responsibilities I have. And I know the dedication, the toll, the requirements that raising a family with my wife has. It is taxing. It is a taxing task, but one we must fight for. One we must get stuck in and do. It is the Lord's work that we are doing. It is not an easy task. On holiday, the first 3-4 days, I complained to my wife almost every day about my legs, my feet, my calves, just from running around, walking around, playing, fetching, doing. How she does that every day, I don't know. But after about 4 or 5 days, I think the body got a bit of fitness in and it started handling the situation better. But it takes a toll on you. And I mentioned in our marriage, or our message on marriage, how the family unit is under severe attack by this world, by the systems and culture that have been embedded into this worldly system. Everything is geared towards distorting and or breaking the design that God has put in place. The dominance of television in the home, I mentioned that last time. The dominance of social media, cell phones and devices, the easy access to a world out there. Movements to redefine marriage from the homosexual community and political fronts. The desire for wealth which keeps both parents or spouses out of the home. And today's focus is on parenting, and the redefining of the family by society impacts parenting. Parenting, in my own limited short experience, is the most wonderful but also the most challenging task that I have been given. It is full on, and I'll explain briefly why so, but I'll detail out a bit later. But if you are going to raise children to be a father or a mother that the Lord requires you to be, you will be challenged. You will be taxed. You will be exhausted each and every day, but you will be blessed. And I'll tell you something there. When you do what the Lord requires you to do, and just to quickly remind us, Deuteronomy, well-known passage, Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. When you do what the Lord requires you to do, to love the Lord with all your heart, to teach your children to do the same, to love Him, with their hearts, to teach them diligently, not now and then and unplanned, but diligently teach them, and to do this when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, to put signs in your house, signs in your hands, on your frontlets of your eyes, to have them on your doorpost, it takes time and it takes dedication. You get tired. And your calling as a parent is not what you see on TV. It's not what you see on the internet. I often laugh with my wife when we have a picture uploaded or a video uploaded of some activity the kids are doing, because the chaos that precedes and precedes that picture or that video is really what parenting is about. That moment of bliss that you get to see is generally just that, a moment, at least in our home. Because around all of that is us having to instruct, teach, discipline. Instruct, teach, discipline. It is joyfully giving up our time and comforts to fetch water, to make a sandwich, to fetch from the toilet, to break up a fight, to help put on clothes, to help lift you up into the tree, to go jump with you, to go play with you, to go sort something out. It's constantly getting up, doing something, and it's going to cost you. And if you have children or are having, you must be or getting ready at least to engage these little ones for the Lord's sake. We must be preparing ourselves to engage our children, not to hand them over, but to engage our children as husband and wife, as mother and father. Ephesians 6:1, which is going to be our anchor passage today, a well-known, something that gets repeated in our house daily. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now the world, this world, is dominated by our evil one. He has been given temporary rule and reign, and he infiltrates all sorts within this world. The world system is bent on destroying your children, on captivating their hearts and minds, and leading them from God and into eternal torment in hell. We kid ourselves if we think that the world is neutral. It is not neutral. Satan runs a system. He hates God. He hates you. He hates your children. And he hates your family. And we need to understand this. We need to know what our world system is about. All these things that we surround our children with, TV, cell phones, social media, entertainments, advertising, malls, public schools, etc., are geared to deaden the desire of truth and to point us away from God. It is designed for that. And we must be on the watch. We must be on guard for these things. I'm going to go back to Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5 says this. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in his gates. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Genesis 29, a well-known passage with Jacob and Leah and Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel, and the Lord saw that Leah was not loved by Jacob. So the Lord opened Leah's womb, and she conceived many sons for Jacob. This was a blessing from the Lord to give her children. She was not loved, and the Lord gave her children. This was a blessing from the Lord to Leah. These children were a blessing. Beloved, children are a blessing. They are a reward. They are a gift from our God. And in today's culture, children are seen as inconveniences, a responsibility to be delayed or to be ignored, and one ends up outsourcing all the child's training to schools, to churches, and to nannies. Yes, these little ones can be difficult, but I can testify to the gift that they are. We must view these little ones as such. In fact, it goes deeper than that. These little ones that have been given to us are in fact only entrusted to us for a short period of time. We are stewards over them. That is all. You simply manage what the Lord has given you. They belong to Him, and He will take them. And they belong to the Lord, and they are dear to Him. Ezekiel 16, verse 20, the Lord is bringing judgment on Israel and how they have prostituted themselves. In fact, they started to offer up their children as sacrifices to pagan gods. And the Lord Himself says to them in verse 21, He says to them that you have slaughtered my children. That was His charge against them. You have slaughtered my children. Not talking about the people of Israel, talking about the little children that they slaughtered and offered up to pagan gods. God calls them my children. They are His. My daughters are His, and I'm only a steward over them. Your child is His, and you've been entrusted to look after them. Someone to take care of what has been entrusted to you. It's what a steward is. Mark 10 tells a story where the disciples were chasing away the little children from coming to Jesus. And Jesus rebukes them and welcomes these little ones to Himself and blesses them and says that to such as these belong the kingdom. Now this has two meanings, but that one being that true believers come to faith in Christ like little children, of course. This trust that they have, they express this full trust and faith in a childlike manner. The way a child does to its parents, in a sense. My girls trust me with their lives. They honestly trust me with their lives. If I tell them not to worry, Dad will look after you, they trust me. Regardless of how dangerous the situation is, they trust me. They come to me. And this same type of trust is what we as true believers put in Christ. We trust God fully, wholeheartedly. But also, and I do believe this, that little children up until a certain age or level of comprehension or accountability are welcomed into the kingdom. In other words, if they pass away, they will be with Christ. We are told in 2 Samuel, when David's child with Bathsheba died, he conceived, obviously, this little one through sin, that whilst the child lived, David wept. But when the child died, David got up, ate, and worshipped. And men were astonished at David's response, but David replied by saying that I will go to where he is, not talking about the grave, but I will go to where he is, but he cannot come back to me. And I don't think David was talking about the grave, because if you look at David's response when Absalom died, David wept and wept and wept. There was no assurance, there was no hope for David in Absalom, but there was in his child with Bathsheba. Jeremiah declares in chapter 19, that they offered their sons to Baal as sacrifices. In other words, they offered their babies as burnt offerings to Baal. And Jeremiah states that they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent. They have spilt this place with the blood of the innocents. Not the guilty. They are innocent. Not because they are not without sin. We will get on that now. But they are innocent. They cannot comprehend. They are not accountable. Children are born sinners. From birth, they are sinners. And they have no right, in that sense, to enter heaven. But God is gracious. His grace saves us. And I believe His grace saves those that are mentally incapable of knowing their right hand from their left. They cannot, as Romans 1 states, look at creation and see God and therefore be without excuse. Children are dear to the Lord. They are dear to Him. So parenting. And as I said earlier, there are some concepts that I want us to lightly remind ourselves this morning about before getting into the actual parenting part, although this all ties into being a faithful parent. But number one, and I alluded to it earlier, is that your children are born sinners, and we need to understand this as parents. Very often we look at our children and we see innocence, there's nothing wrong with them, they're cute, they're cuddly, all right, everything's fine. They are born sinners. Psalm 51 verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Romans 5 tells us that one sin, the sin through Adam, who we all come from, brought condemnation and death to all men. It says that many were made sinners. Romans 6 talks about it. We are all inherently sinners, and your child is a sinner. They are a sinner. They are born with the sin nature. They do not become sinners. They are sinners from birth. And I can testify to this. All of us as parents can testify to this. The moment your child is born, they scream and demand. They are selfish. It's about me. I want what I want. Get me what I want. And I can honestly tell you that I did not teach my children this. I did not teach them disobedience. I did not teach them to be selfish, to desire what they want. They just come out doing that stuff. It's just in them. I did not teach my one-month-old to disobey, to pull her sister's hair, to push, to scream at her sisters, to grab, to lie, to shout at mom and dad. You don't have to teach your child to do wrong. That's all they do. We exhaust ourselves to teach them to do right. It's amazing how hard it is to teach a little one to do right. And even once we have instructed them 50 times on the same thing, they will still do the sinful thing 9 out of 10 times. This week, as I mentioned, has been a challenge. I've sat in my room with my daughter probably for like 20 minutes in numerous slots, teaching her, explaining to her, telling her to choose to do right. And she still disobeys. She still does not want to do it. And I explain to her the consequence, and yet she still chooses to do what is wrong. This morning before church, I was in the room with her about half an hour. I said, sweetheart, if you do that, there's going to be punishment. If you do this, there's going to be reward and blessing. Which one do you want to choose? I told her, that hand, there's a hiding in there, and that's going to be lack of self-control, and all of that is in here. But here is blessing and reward if you have self-control. And she just kept looking at this. I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to do that. And it was a hiding. What you want to do? I want to do that. And it's a hiding. What do you want to do? Daddy, I want to do that. Thank you, my sweetheart. Bless you. Thank you. Amen. It's like, you don't get it. It's unbelievable. And I love them, don't get me wrong. And that's why I sit there for half an hour trying to teach her, trying to get ready for church and sitting there. Your child is precious, but she or he is not innocent. Brothers and sisters, they will perish in his sins if taken once they can be held accountable. They will be punished. And this is why parenting is such a serious business. Although salvation is a work of the Lord, he often uses us parents as the primary tool to water the land. He does the planting. He does the growing. All the hardening. But we must preach and preach and preach the gospel to them. Make known the righteousness of God, the sinful state of ourselves, the consequences of sin, the inability to attain righteousness, the grace found in Christ. Your children do not just need to hear about Noah's Ark and David and Goliath and that Jesus is their friend and that Jesus loves them. They need to hear this plus the accurate presentation of the gospel on their level. They need to hear the full counsel of God. Teach them who God is. Teach them what sin is. Tell them about hell. Tell them about heaven. I can see the worry and the fear in my girls' eyes when I teach them on hell. It scares them. And this is good. This is good. Don't hold that back from them. It is a gift. Teach them about what happens if they're going to die in their sins one day. If they are not going to repent and turn to Christ. Teach them what hell is about. It scares me to see this in them. And of course, we bring God's goodness into it through Jesus. But they must know what sin produces. And this must be repeated and repeated because your children need to hear the gospel. They must. Romans 3, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. This was us, and it is your child. Be diligent. Be diligent. Deuteronomy 6, teach them diligently. Teach them, show them, instruct them, teach them, love them. We must demand that our children pay attention to us. That when we teach, they listen. Because we are proclaiming and teaching what can give them life. And I hope that is what you are doing when you are teaching, when you are instructing, when you are teaching them, that you are giving them life, the words of life through Scripture. 30 blessed me with a wonderful book that he hasn't even read yet, I don't think. And gaining the attention of your child. And as I was reading through Proverbs, I just want to read here. The importance of your children to pay attention to you. When you are wise, when you are trying to love them and teach them diligently, they must listen to you. You must teach them to listen to you. Proverbs 4, 5, 6, and 7. Hear, O sons, if I'm not going to read all of it, don't worry. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Hear, my son, and accept my words. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them with all your heart. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. My wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding. And now, O sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. My son, keep your father's commands and forsake not your mother's teaching. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. And now, O son, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. This father pleaded to his son to pay attention. This father was trained in righteousness and wisdom, and he desired to impart this to his son, that his son may know the truth and have life in God. He wanted to teach him to fear the Lord, to guard his mind, to guard his heart, to apply wisdom. But he needed his son to listen to him. And that starts young, teaching your children to listen to you. Don't be a fool and teach them to listen to you. Be wise and teach them to listen to you. Do we just watch our children go on sinning and head to hell? Do we know that this is an internal soul, precious to the Lord, that must come to know him? Or are we happy to be apathetic fathers and mothers, to outsource all training and time of our children to others, to seek our own comforts, to not be bothered, to be a cruel authority and not be kind? Do we know what we have been entrusted with? My wife reminded me last week to be a kind authority, not because I wasn't being a kind authority, but it was just a wonderful reminder. Norman, be a kind authority. God is to us. I told my children, as I mentioned earlier, about hell a few weeks ago, and explained to them what happens there and what it is, that you can never get out of there and that your sin will put you there if you do not heed my voice and listen to my teaching. The fear and terror on my girls' faces caused me to tremble at the thought of my girls going there, and that I must do whatever the Lord allows me to do, whatever I can, to be whatever tool the Lord will have me to be for them. It reminded me of what I should feel when I think of hell. Their response should be mine. Do we take this seriously? Parenting is a joy and a great blessing and a great pleasure, but it is serious business. So on parenting, number one, Ephesians 5, and we're going to get into the crux of a few things now. Ephesians 5, parents, you be faithful first. You be faithful. Before Paul moves to the family and wives and husbands, children and fathers and bondservants and servants, he calls us in Ephesians 5 not to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And I mentioned this in our marriage message. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. This is the key in all of a Christian's life. You can read all the books, know all the points, know your sin, but if you do not work in step with the Spirit, submitting to him in all things, you cannot be faithful, and you will be a poor example. And as I mentioned, when my two oldest came along together, I knew the points. I knew the books. I knew that. But I did not walk in line with the Spirit. That caused me to move off. And I became a hard father, a hard husband. And I needed to return to submitting to the Lord, return to submitting to the Spirit in the young years of my little girls. And parenting requires both mom and dad to be faithful believers. Believers that walk according to the Spirit, that model Christ and the Christian virtues. Look at Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, prisoners for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what we are to do. We are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. We are to walk faithfully. We are to be humble, gentle, patient, long-suffering, loving. We are to model what we teach to our little ones. We are to model this. They learn from us. They learn by example. We don't just do this for their sakes, of course. We don't just walk according to the Spirit because we have children. We do this is because this is what we are called to do. But they will greatly benefit from this. Parents, when you walk according to the ways of the Lord, He blesses you and your family. Psalm 128, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. He shall be blessed and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be a fruitful vine. Your children will be olive shoots around your table. Again, what a picture of blessing and fruitfulness when there is obedience to God. This also means that you, mom and dad, are united. And I want to focus here a little bit. You guys must be united. Mom and dad, husband and wife, are the primary relationship in the home. Children are secondary. Husband and wife, you are the primary focus. You are almost like that foundation that this family starts building up on. You are the first part of the family. When you came together, your family began. Not when your children came in. Children are going to leave one day. Your wife sticks to you. You stick to her. You're not going anywhere, but your children are going to go away, and they're going to, Lord willing, stick themselves to a godly man or a godly woman. And far too often, I've seen this in my own home with experience, that the little ones cause distraction between mom and dad, between husband and wife. You forget about your wife. You forget about your husband. The spoiling stops. The affection stops. The lunch boxes become worse for work. The conversation becomes shallow. We must be on our guard. Just on that, my mates in the office laugh when they see a rough lunchbox coming my way. They know, Norman, what did you do? Because normally I get a good feast there. But there's a salami with peanut butter on, Norman, you in the dog box, aren't you? We must be on our guard and protect our marriages as parents. We must be pursuing each other, growing our relationships, keeping it healthy and joyful. Pursue your wife, pursue your husband. Kids must see mom and dad in love. They must see mom and dad fulfilling the roles of loving leadership and willing submission, of mutual submission to each other, of priority. Guys, children feel the tension when things are not right between mom and dad. When mom and dad are bickering, children feel that. Something's not right. The cogs are coming off and they feel unsettled. And you want to see their behavior change, argue with your wife. Be faithful in your marriage. And children also spot the hypocrisy. If you're not walking faithfully, if we are shouting at them, telling them to have self-control, getting angry when telling them not to sin in anger, telling them to be selfless while we push them away so we can have more relaxed time, how are you supposed to teach your children about Christ and God when you model a poor example? But last night, I got so to the point of tiredness with my little one that I just started shouting at her in the room. I was so, like, just teaching her, just shouting at her. And I just had to stop and I said, sweetheart, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm angry. And her mood just changed like that. Dad, thank you for asking for forgiveness. And then she listened because she spots the hypocrisy in Dad. But then she sees the example when you ask for forgiveness. Sweetheart, I've sinned. Forgive me. Yes, Daddy. We must be a good example. All right. So a command to children. Ephesians 6. So you guys can see that I have been in the battles this week. I've got lots of examples. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through to 3. Children, and this is a command to children. So if there are older children in here, this is for you, and parents, this is also for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. This is repeated daily in our homes as we instruct and train and discipline our girls. This is really the crux of the matter for children and parenting. This is what they need to do. Obey and honor. This is the only command to children. Obey your parents and show honor to them. And because this is commanded by Scripture that children obey and honor, us as parents need to teach and instruct and require obedience from our children. I think someone can shy away from that because they don't want to be this authority over your children, but you are to require obedience and honor from your children. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Just very similar to what we've read now. What about Romans? Romans 1 verse 30. Look at this. I'll take it from verse 28, talking about those that do not know the Lord. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, they gave them up He gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, and disobedient to parents. It's quite a phrase to put amongst a lot of those. Murderers, drunkards, gossips, envy. And he puts disobedient to parents. This is a serious matter to the Lord that your children obey. I want to quickly take you to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 3. And this is talking about the last days, the end times. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, and disobedient to their parents. It's a sign of the end times. It's a serious thing. It's part of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. Children, honor your father and mother. Exodus 21. I just want to read this. Yeah. I'm just going to mention it to you, but I want to read you. Sorry, guys, but I'll just find my spot here. Exodus 21, 15 through to 17. Well, I'll just read 15 and 17. Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. A child hits his mom or dad, they get put to death. Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. That is serious business. You hit your mom and dad, you curse your mom and dad, they put you to death. What about Deuteronomy? Let me find it here. Deuteronomy 21, testing my skills here. 21, 18 through to 21. A rebellious son is the title. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him and he will not listen to them, then his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of his city, "This is our son, and he is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That's how serious God took obedience. Now, we don't apply that now. We don't stone our children now, so don't get me wrong. It's different. But this is how serious God took it, how he purged the wickedness. And in that example there, this was obviously an older child that just refused. Scripture told him that we taught, we've instructed him, we've disciplined him. He refuses to listen. He's a drunkard. And they purged him. Apparently there's no record of a parent actually doing that in those times. There's no record of it. But it was a command from the Lord. Obedience is serious. Now to obey literally means listening with attentiveness and then responding positively to what is heard. And it's important for us parents to know this. This is when we teach them to obey, we are teaching them to listen with attentiveness and then respond positively to what is heard, to obey what is heard. The sense is that one understands and responds accordingly. To obey implies really listening with a readiness to execute what is required or ordered. In our home, because my girls are very young, if I give them an instruction, I'll ask them to repeat it back to me so I know that they've grasped the concept. And you can do it. Guys, please go pack your toys away. Girls, what did daddy ask you to do? Pack toys away. All right, you understand. You know what it means to pack toys away? Yes, daddy. All right. You. All right? But if I ask them to please go, I don't know, cook a bolognese, they're not going to know what to do. Silly example. But we've got to understand that they know what they need to do. So we need to apply wisdom there. Because we are teaching them to understand, to listen, and obey. And if your child is not listening to you when you're teaching them, they are not taking it in. And they're not going to obey. That's why I read earlier, they must give you their attention. Obedience implies an inward attitude of respect and honor, as well as an external act of obedience. Obedience on the part of children consists in listening to the advice given by parents. I mean, look at in Genesis 22, Isaac's willingness to be offered as a sacrifice is a model of submission. I mean, he's his dad, what are you doing? You know, the Lord will provide, and he's putting him on an altar. Dad, what are you doing? And he just submitted to his dad. He didn't fight his dad, he didn't argue with his dad. Just submitted. It's an act of the heart, obedience. In short, The picture of obedience is that of placing oneself under what has been heard and submitting to and obeying what is heard. The word used for obedience here is not the same that is used of a wife to a husband. Remember, a wife to a husband is a willing submission based on an equal understanding. They are equal. Well, they have been given different roles, but they are equal. We don't require obedience from our wives as we do from a child. We do not treat our wives like children. They are equal to us. But children and parents are not equal in this regard. Equal in life before the Lord, but not in standing. The parent is the authority, and a child must obey and submit to this authority. Parents, you must not be ashamed of the authority that the Lord has given you over your children. Don't be ashamed that you are in authority over them. Don't be ashamed to exert your authority in a gentle, loving way for the Lord over them. We must teach our children to obey, and this is hard work. It is hard work. And I believe that this is important, firstly because the Lord commands it, but we must learn obedience to authorities that we can obey the Lord's commands. This, for me, this is about obedience and faith. 1 Samuel 15, the Lord says, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience was so important to the Lord. If we do not teach our children obedience, why will they be obedient to God? We even want to have an authority over them. If we are a harsh authority, they're going to rebel against authority, so be that gentle authority. But it's about faith and obedience. Elizabeth Elliot also emphasized the importance of obedience when she wrote this: throughout the Bible, when God asked a man to do something, methods, means, materials, and specific directions were always provided. The man had one thing to do: obey. John MacArthur adds that true salvation evidences itself in obedience to Christ, from the initial obedience to the gospel command to repent and believe to a life pattern of obedience to the word. Talking about that true salvation comes through in obedience to Christ. Romans 6:17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart, that the form of teaching to which you have committed. Obedience is part of our faith. And obedience marks the Christian's life. We walk a path of obedience to Christ through the scriptures. Obedience brings blessing, and we must teach our children this. Disobedience brings chastisement and discipline. Obedience brings blessing. They are told to obey that it may go well with you in the land. We are told in Scripture that blessed is the man that walks accordingly. In other words, obeys the commands of the Lord. There is great blessing in obedience. And we must not be afraid to teach our children this. Guys, we must not be afraid to bless our children, to reward our children. Reward them if they obey. Don't dangle the carrot in front of them and say, you'll get this if you obey. But if they show a pattern of obedience, reward them. The Lord does to us. Don't be afraid of that. I think very often we can just be obey, 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 obey. And if you don't obey, there's discipline. But what happens when there's obedience? Are we rewarding them? Are we modeling God to them? And I think we can, and I'm talking now, I think we can get the steward and blessing motivation mixed up sometimes. We can easily teach obey because the Bible says, or I tell you to obey. Guys, God motivates us with rewards, does he not? He promises us eternal life in paradise. He talks about blessings, prosperity. He talks about goodness. God didn't just say, obey me, and that is that. No, he has told us that there will be reward. And this is good. He knows that when it is hard to obey, we can remind ourselves with reward. Or remind ourselves with bad consequences. Reward your children when they show a character of obedience. Or when you are starting to teach them obedience. At the end of the week, bless them. At the end of the day, bless them. As our loving Father rewards us, we too must model this to our children. As we seek to model God, our Father, to them. Far too often, we just discipline our disobedience and give no reward for obedience. And I don't think this is an example that our Lord has left us with. Now, the obedience we need to develop within our children is obedience from the heart. An obedience that delights in being obedient. An obedience that obeys because the Lord. It will obeys because of the Lord. And that is the type of obedience that we need to teach them. That the Lord requires obedience from them. We often quote this to our children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's for the Lord's sake that you do this. Not because of mommy and daddy, but because of the Lord. Children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. This is how we must teach our children to obey from the heart. Paul goes on to say in Colossians, we must obey our earthly masters, not by eye service or as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. He says, whatever you do, do heartily unto the Lord, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. This is how we must obey, and this is how we must teach our children to obey. And I'll talk more on this as we move into parents instructing and teaching children wisdom, but as a parent, one of your titles is a counselor. You are a biblical counselor in your home. Every mom and dad, you are a counselor in your home. You are doing heart work on your children. You are addressing the deeper line sin issues, heart issues, soul issues. Far too often we get caught up in the addressing of behavior through embarrassment or frustration. We just try to alter behavior, trying to purely correct this. But we forget that this behavior stems from a sinful heart, a heart struggling to deal with something biblically or truthfully. We must be wise and diligent in teaching them the truth of Scripture. Luke 6, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the wellspring of life. From the heart, these behaviors come. Yes, when you start altering the heart, the behaviors will change. Lord willing, that's not a guarantee. Believe me, parenting God's way is not a guarantee that your children are going to be wise and full of good character. It's not a guarantee, but it is the only way. And we need to be wise and diligent in addressing the root of the issues within our children. And obedience is one of these. We must teach our children to obey us as this pleases the Lord. They are doing unto him, and he will reward them for this. In this life or the next, if they come to accept Christ as the Lord and Savior and turn from their sins. We seek to obey Scripture because it pleases our Lord. It brings us blessing. We are wise and fear the Lord. We do it from the heart by God's work, and our children must follow this example in us. And teaching obedience is difficult. Children are self-willed. They worship themselves. They do not want authority. My girls, my three girls, all of them are very self-willed, and they are very uncompliant. All of your children are self-willed, don't get me wrong, but you get some that are maybe a little bit more compliant than others. Mine are totally uncompliant when it comes to obedience. I've got a long road ahead of me. But we faithfully teach them submission, obedience to us and unto the Lord. This is an hourly thing in our home, and we must get this right. And it gets discouraging. This week has been discouraging at times. And sometimes we sit there wondering what we have done wrong because these little ones are just defying. And we think, we pray, but we go on teaching the same concept. To be consistent, we must be consistent in this. We must have their attention when we speak and give instruction. And by God's grace, Lord willing, the tree will bear fruit. And I'll wait for that fruit. A command to parents. So that's children. Obey your parents. Parents, we must teach them to obey. A command to parents. Verse 4 in Ephesians 6. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. These verses are aimed at the parents, the God-given authorities in the home. The word fathers is used, but the root of this implies it to parents. But on the father side of it, it cannot be overlooked that the responsibility for nurturing children in the faith is fixed squarely on the shoulders of Christian fathers. Obviously, mothers will have much to do with this. They'll have much to do with the nurture and training of children. Proverbs 1:8, hear my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So mothers are teaching as well. But fathers who relinquish this duty entirely to their wives do so in a clear violation of New Testament teaching. Children are a gift from the Lord, and they are to be reared for him. Ray Steadman says, this word translated fathers could well be translated parents because it includes both the father and the mother. It is also true that the emphasis is laid largely upon the father, for he is responsible for what the children become. This is sobering, is it not, fathers? Mothers may enforce the policy, but it is the father's task to set it and see to it that the children are raised properly. There is nothing that is more dishonoring to the spirit of Christianity than the aptitude adopted by many fathers. It is my job to make the living. Her job is to raise the children, not in the Word of God. In the Bible, the ultimate responsibility for what a home becomes is the father's. So the word is addressed to fathers. The first task Paul lays out for parents or fathers is a negative. Do not provoke your children to anger. Colossians 3 tells us again, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. This is talking about exasperating your children. It means to excite them to anger, to cause them to become discouraged, to cause them to become resentful because of the way you treat them or the demands that you put on them. Unreasonable demands. Now, when Paul was writing this, fathers ruled the home generally harshly. Children were under the law, under the power of the father. There was actually a special law there called the power of the father. And he could do to his children as he pleases. He could even take life if he wanted to. Children were not seen in high regard. And Paul seems to be addressing that this could be taking place within these Gentile believers' homes, and he is correcting them. Again, this is a very radical message from the Lord through Paul against the culture. But this happens today in many, many homes. Fathers and or mothers who rule harshly. They exasperate their children. And I mentioned earlier, my wife reminded me this week, or late last week, to be a kind authority. And as I mentioned, I wasn't being unkind, but she was reminded of this, and she sought to remind me. And that's something that's carried me through this challenging week. Be kind. Be a kind authority. You are an authority, but be kind. We are in authority in the home, but we are to be kind to our children, gentle, loving, rewarding, amongst instruction and discipline and teaching. We are to show this gentleness, this love, this blessing. And this is how our Heavenly Father deals with us. He is the ultimate authority, the only sovereign over all things, yet He is kind, patient, and seeks to bless us. But our parenting can easily provoke our children. I've just listed a few ways here, and I'm not going to go into detail on them. But some ways could be, and these are just some ways. There are probably many more. But criticism, criticizing your children constantly in front of people. Harsh discipline, either too much discipline, never rewarding, or just disciplining far too hard. Unforgiveness. So when you've dealt with discipline, when you've dealt with the sin, it is done. But often parents can hold that against their children. Go to your room and sit in there for 20 minutes. No. If you have disciplined and instructed, it is done. Once you've given that hiding, you bring them in. It's done. What about never rewarding them? Always punishing them for sin, but never rewarding them. Never blessing them. Favoritism amongst children. Belittling them in front of people. Being overprotective. This is something we can get wrong with young children. Constantly walking over them. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't do that. Just constantly monitoring how they play all the time. You've got to teach your children trust. They've got to learn to be trustworthy. Sometimes my kids go into my garage and I know they are getting up to something there. But I leave them for a bit and I tell them, Daddy's trusting you. And they go in there and they play. And they've learned to play respectfully in my garage. But we can be overbearing on our children. We can be unreasonable towards them, giving them unreasonable requests. Maybe they're this big and we're telling them to do things that they just cannot do yet. Or we haven't taught them properly what a certain command means, but we just keep maybe disciplining or instructing or being hard on them, but they don't understand. We've been unreasonable with them. This can exasperate them. And we must be careful of this. It's going to take time walking in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, to not do this. And if you have been harsh with your children, ask for forgiveness. Ask them for forgiveness. I do to mine. I mentioned earlier that example that I had with my little one last night. Every day I ask my children for forgiveness. My wife asks them for children to ask them for forgiveness. And you must see what happens in them. When daddy comes down, humbles himself and says, sweetheart, forgive me. Their faces change. Not because they delight in that, but they're like, daddy understands. Daddy's living what he teaches us to do. Paul then moves from this command to not exasperate or discourage or anger your children through your harshness or unforgiveness, but to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. To bring them up means to nurture them and press them onto maturity. You nurture them through provision, protection, and teaching. It is an habitual practice by fathers to raise their children and mothers. Guys, when I say fathers, I do mean parents here. By fathers to raise their children up onto maturity, taking care of physical needs, soul needs. And this is generally for a lengthy period of time. That's what it means to nurture something. It takes time to do this. You nurture your children up to maturity. Being a father or mother is a long-term commitment to raise your children, to bring them up. We are not babysitters or just watchers, but our role is to bring them up, to push them onto maturity. And I think we can often get discouraged when we don't see immediate fruits with our children. But I find hope in the fact that this is a long-term game. It's long-term. I'm to bring them up, to nurture them, to raise them up in the ways that they should go, and this takes time. We are to nurture them. Paul then states two things. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In other words, do not provoke them, but bring them up in discipline and instruction. Now, discipline means the whole training of a child. That's what it means to train a child or to discipline a child, is to, not necessarily the punishment, that's a tool of it, or reward is a tool of that, but discipline is the whole training of a child. It is a broad term, signifying whatever parents and teachers do to train, correct, cultivate, and educate children in order to help them develop and mature as they ought. This includes punishment. He who spares his rod hates his son. And I'm speaking a lot about a physical discipline today because it is against the culture. In fact, it is unlawful to discipline your children. I can go to jail if someone finds out that I give my child a spank. But he who, Proverbs 13, he who spares his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Discipline is what we do to our children to help develop godly character. And very often this is through physical punishment. A hiding or spank, whatever you want to call it. And also helps. It also involves helping them develop certain habits that result in a disciplined character. In our home, there are three things my wife and I are trying to develop in our children, and those are godliness, so living according to the ways of the Lord, that's pretty much everything, character, to be honest, punctual, to have integrity, trust, faithfulness, diligence. So godliness and character, as well as intelligence or wisdom. So to learn knowledge and learn how to use that. So godliness, character, and wisdom. And the first two, godliness and character, require discipline. Or for us to discipline them. To train them. And in this, and provide corrective action over them. We are called to instruct a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Discipline is vitally important in raising your children. Look at Hebrews 12. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with a son. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. All discipline for the moment seems to be not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained in it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The Lord disciplines us, and we are to model this to our children. Although this is not all discipline entails, but physical punishment is a key in this. In this day and age, Christians seem to steer away from giving them little ones these hidings or spanks, and we rather opt for the quiet corner, or the wrong corner, whatever you want to call it. But I believe that Scripture makes this form of discipline clear because it is effective. Have you ever tried to reason with a disobedient child? It doesn't work. Proverbs 22 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Proverbs 13, the one who will not use the rod hates his son, but the one who loves him disciplines him diligently. The Lord has designed physical consequences and chastising to take its effect in our hearts, and we are to allow it to impact our children. You cannot reason with the little one. Foolishness and selfishness and rebellion is bound up in that heart, and it is important that they know authority. I see it in my children. If rebellion is happening in my home, no amount of talking is going to help. As soon as we spank, I have their attention again, and the home goes in line for a bit. But starting this loving corrective discipline young with your children, Lord willing, will result in fewer spanks going forward as they get older. It will start cultivating that heart of discipline in them from a young age. By 6, 7, or 8, hopefully the hidings are very few. And they will still be there, but Lord willing, few. And I encourage you to start young, being faithful, diligent, and gentle. And I'm going to end off here. You're also to instruct your children. This training is by word, training in the mind, and this is done through God's word. It's teaching, it's correcting, it's reproofing, it's encouraging with God's truth. This goes hand in hand with discipline. You need to be instructing through the discipline process. They work together. So you don't just discipline, you instruct and discipline. In my home, discipline time is the best time for teaching. It is the best time for teaching. Because you get to address the sin through what God says in His Word about it. You teach your child what they must put off and what they must put on to please the Lord. It is the best time for instruction. But it is also our command to instruct our children in the Lord's ways. To form the heart and the mind. It is said that if a man does not teach his children truth, others will teach them error. And that is rife today. Parents, it is our responsibility to teach and instruct our children in the ways of the Lord. We do not outsource this to schools. They are to teach maths or science. We do not outsource our children to the church. It is our responsibility. It must happen in the home. I'm going to end off here with Genesis 18. For I have chosen him that he may command his children, speaking of Abraham, and his household of him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Men, are we ensuring that our children are receiving adequate training and teaching by the word? Are we giving our children our time? Are we instructing them in the ways of the Lord? And guys, maybe I've painted a picture of a gray household, a hard household, but it's not that. Guys, bless your children. Enjoy your children. Make them happy. Enjoy them. Love them. Show them the goodness of God through the way that you teach them, the way that you handle them, by giving them your time, sacrificing for them, rewarding them, blessing them in all things. I hope that has been helpful this morning. There are many practical things, and there are many wise parents in here. Please, if any of you are embarking on the children journey, there are many that you can glean great wisdom from. And there are many great resources that you can read. I just wanted to cover the base of it today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the gift of family. Lord, we thank you for the gift of children. Lord, I pray that you would grant us all wisdom and discernment and knowledge as we seek to raise a generation that knows you. Father, them knowing you is your doing. It is your work. We cannot do it, but we are simply your tools, Father, and I pray that we will be obedient in it. But Father, if it is your will that you would change the hearts of our children, that they would come to know Christ, that they would come to know their sin, turn from their sins from a young age, Lord, and live a life of godliness, Lord, free from pain and regret and too many wrong decisions, Father, that we would be faithful in training them in your way. Father, it is a wonderful task that you have given us, but a weighty task. And I pray that you would strengthen us and equip us as we seek to glorify you and honor you as a church. Lord, I pray that you would be with us today. You would allow us to rest well, Father, to enjoy our families, to enjoy time together with friends and fellowship, Lord. And that you would keep us safe, Lord, and bring us all together again next Sunday, where we come to proclaim who you are, Father, and your goodness and greatness through Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for this morning, and have a wonderful Sunday.